Robert Higgs is an economist. He's a good guy. He's not flown, or he's not prone to flights of oratorical hysteria like I just was. So he will talk very calmly and very collectively and very intelligently about our state of economic affairs. Robert, welcome back. How are you?
I'm fine, Mike.
Is that a good setup for you?
I'm happy with it, yeah.
Say, Mr. Higgs will come on, and he'll be nice and grandfatherly, as he is grandfatherly, and he will talk us all down off the ledge here. So, economics 101, Robert, and you are the expert on this. This trickling down, or this incrementally, allegedly decreasing number of unemployment claims that is being touted out there with media acolytes doing cartwheels in the streets that Obama and Congress have fixed our problems and we are on the road to robust recovery. What do you say about that today?
Well, Mike, as I read the evidence, we are still very near the bottom of the recession. There are some indicators that show a slight improvement since what looks like the bottom and around the middle of last year, but the amount of improvement since then is actually very slight, and every time we find one indicator that shows a little improvement, we can find another that shows no improvement or even deterioration. So it seems to me that we're at the moment more or less stuck in a trough rather than in a recovery. Even if we are in a recovery, it's certainly a very weak one.
Talk for a second, Robert, if you will. Congressman Paul had Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke in front of him yesterday or the day before. I can't recall which. And Congressman Paul was making the point that, Mr. Chairman, you have kept interest rates at almost zero now going on 2 years. And you mean to tell me you don't think that this is possibly causing malinvestment, or this is causing the inflation of another bubble? Is it a possibility, Robert, that with the interest rates being kept the way that they are, that what is being called a recovery is just another poorly inflated bubble that is doomed and destined to burst?
Well, it's certainly possible. If it is, it won't look like the last bubble, at least for a while, Mike, because real estate, having fallen, overall residential real estate investment having fallen more than 50%, is not going anywhere right now. So we're not looking at a housing bubble right now, but it's possible that these low interest rates are encouraging a commodities bubble. There's certainly some significant run-ups in the prices of some commodities, and people are looking around desperately for a form of investment that isn't so obviously risky that it's unthinkable. And one outlet for investment funds right now is speculation in commodities.
Now, when you say commodities, you're not talking about the New York Stock Exchange. You're actually talking about gold, silver, soybeans.
Gold, silver, basic industrial raw materials.
Right. So that does not extend to the stock market. So then there are many Austrian-style thinkers or believers in the free market that are not promoters of Keynesianism or monetarism in any way, that say that the stock market then is wildly overvalued at this point in time. Do you agree with that?
I'm frankly puzzled by the amount of run-up in the stock market in the past year, Mike. The S&P 500 is up by about 50% in the past year, and a little more than 50% since it hit bottom early last year. And I don't understand why, frankly. I don't see anything in the events of the past year or in what one might reasonably expect to be happening in the next few years that would tell me stocks are now worth 50% more than they were a year ago. So it looks to me as if a lot of money is betting on a long shot here in the stock markets, but I don't pretend to be a prophet, and so I might be wrong about that.
Well, you've been right about a lot of things, my friend. You shouldn't be so hard on yourself. And many of them, if you just apply what I think are simple free market principles, and I don't mean the glorious characterization that free markets have become. I mean actual free markets. You can tell, I mean, there's always going to be malinvestment, isn't there? There's always going to be, you know, for a wise individual that could see, wait a minute, that guy's spending way too much money on inventory. You can't possibly keep that pace up. If you actually had a free market, you are able to, in some manner, smart people anyways, to do a little bit of predicting in the future, aren't you?
Well, no matter what kind of free market system we have, some people will always make mistakes,
right?
Because no one has perfect knowledge of the future. And so, in a sense, every investment or every acquisition of property is the best guess. And some people are bound to be wrong for a variety of reasons. But when Austrian economists speak of malinvestments, they have in mind something that's more systematic than simply random individual errors. They have in mind the fact that when the monetary authority in our country, the Federal Reserve System, pushes the interest rates below the level they would have in a free market, the long-term investments are made to look more profitable than they otherwise would relative to short-term investments. So what we have is malinvestment in the sense that we change the composition of investment to contain more long-term relative to medium and short-term investments than we would have in a free market with a free market interest rate. And it takes a while for people to realize that many of those long-term investments are not going to be profitable or not even going to be viable. In some cases, it won't even be possible for investors to complete the projects and get them off the ground.
Right.
So that's the sort of thing that allows the monetary authority to monkey with interest rates and bring about short-term booms, which are inevitably going to turn into busts. We just don't have the savings available to carry out all these long-term investments. Investors have, in a sense, been fooled by the interest rate that's been pushed down by the monetary authority. Normally, in a free market, if the interest rate falls, it tells you that people want to save more. They want to consume more in the future relative to the present. But they're not really wanting that in the case where the Fed has pushed the interest rate below the free market level. There are no additional savings there that can be used to carry out more long-term investments. So investors are tricked, as it were, but they're tricked in mass. They're tricked across the board that way, and that is really different from the ordinary mistakes that individual investors may make, even in a fully pure market system.
Robert Higgs is an economist and a fellow at the Independent Institute. It's a great think tank out there, and he actually is here in the Bayou State with us. Let me ask you a question about unemployment. Well, let me ask it in terms of employment here. And I've been telling the audience for quite a while here that I would inform them when the conditions had appreciably changed that were favorable to employment. So, since I think you and I agree that they have not appreciably changed, what needs to change? Folks want to know, Robert, when are we going to get back to work, Mike? What do we have to do to bring manufacturing back, Mr. Higgs? What would you say to someone that has that question and may even be desperate at this point in time?
Well, I would say, first of all, you should consider taking a job that doesn't pay as much as you think you should be getting. One of the reasons why employment lags in business cycles, even when the economy recovers in terms of output, employment usually lags several quarters in making its turnaround. So the first thing I would tell people is if you really want a job, you better think about taking one on worse terms than perhaps you had in your last job. And it doesn't mean you're going to be stuck there forever, but it means that you're in a situation where employers are not willing to pay what they were paying during the boom. So you need to appreciate that if you're looking for work. The other thing is, some people are just going to have to be patient. They're going to have to realize that whereas two or three years ago, they could expect to find a good new job in a few months of search, it's probably going to take them much longer now. They may have to move. They may have to change their location.
What about the conditions, though? How do you change? What conditions, the ones that I'm talking about, what conditions need to change so that you would have robust job creation? I'm talking manufacturing job creation.
Oh, a real honest-to-God recovery,
yes,
is going to require that private investment recover. Right now, it's running almost 30% below its previous peak. That's a huge reduction in private investment.
Wow.
And private investment is the engine of economic growth. We're always reading in the newspapers, and politicians are always telling us about the importance of consumption. And they keep repeating that consumption is 70% of the GDP. But that's very misleading, because the economic growth process is driven by investment. And that's real investment, private investment, not this make-believe fake investment that politicians talk about when they throw money irrationally at politically expedient projects.
Right.
We're talking about the things that entrepreneurs can reasonably put their money into, expecting to make a decent return in the future. And there's so much uncertainty right now, Mike, that long-term investment is at a very low ebb. And even in the short or intermediate term, there are such great risks of what might be done next in Washington, that people are almost foolish to make investments right now. And so a great many of them are not doing so. And until they start doing so, there's never going to be a robust recovery, and we may be stuck for a long time in a semi-stagnation situation.
Now, you had written something to the effect, and I'll paraphrase, and you can correct me afterwards. and I'm still staggered by the 30% number. That is just incredible. Has that ever happened before, that precipitously?
During the Great Depression, even greater plunge took place. But other than that, in modern times, that is since World War II, we've never had anything like this for anything more than a very brief period. So,
what I would follow up on was that those evil, despicable rich guys that are so demonized and just so vilified, it's almost to the point of being criminal now, have no incentive, if I'm understanding this correctly, have no incentive to invest what capital they may have sitting in Zurich bank accounts, sitting at Capital One or Chase or wherever, that the only prudent thing that they could do with their money is to spend it themselves. Sit on it, spend it themselves, and keep it, right?
They're spending it. They're keeping it in very short-term financial instruments, short-term notes and deposits and bonds. And as I mentioned before, some of them are speculating in commodities or recently in stocks. But to actually spend this money on new projects, what we call real investment,
right,
distinct from just financial purchases of assets, that's the thing that's fallen. And until real investment recovers, we can't get real economic growth going. You produce real output with real input, Mike. You don't produce it by spending more to bid up the prices of existing assets.
So the formula is not stimulus dollars in equals X jobs out.
Absolutely not. And these jobs that the so-called stimulus money is going toward are in large part phony jobs. They're make-believe jobs. They're jobs for government employees who at best are doing nothing useful, and in all too many instances are actually getting in the way of real progress in the private economy.
You see, folks, this is what I tell you when I tell you that the conditions are there. All right, Robert, we're out of time. Hey, final question for you. Have you sampled those giant Ponchatoula strawberries this season?
I have, actually. I live very near Ponchatoula, so I'm right on top of this this supply.
They are amazing. Folks, come to Louisiana. We got the best strawberries I have ever seen this year. All right, Robert, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. You're very very generous and grateful and gracious with it, and I certainly appreciate your reasoned input into this hysterical program today.
Well, thanks for having me on, Mike.
Anytime. Robert Higgs there, folks. You can read him online at theindependentinstitute.org. Sunday, bloody Sunday. All right, Mike, get back to healthcare. I'm going to get right back to it. Get you two queued up. We're coming right back with your phone calls and an update on Sunday, bloody Sunday. The extermination, Liberty and Extermination Act of 2010 will get voted on Sunday. It's time to put up.